State versus Foster. Please approach. Is there anyone in the courtroom on behalf of Mr. Foster? Is it your understanding he's pro se?
Yes, Your Honor.
And not available? Thank you.
May it please the court, my name is Stacey Faust, Assistant Attorney General representing the appellee of the state of Nebraska. Foster appealed after the district court denied him post-conviction relief without an evidentiary hearing. A jury convicted Foster after a joint trial with his co-defendant Darren Smith of one count of first-degree murder, four counts of second-degree assault, and five counts of use of a deadly weapon to commit a felony. The primary issue in direct appeal was whether the trial court erred when it failed to sever his trial from Smith. This court affirmed Foster's convictions and sentences on direct appeal. He was represented by the same counsel at trial and on direct appeal. In 2015, through counsel, Foster filed the amended motion for post-conviction relief that is the operative pleading in this appeal. He raised in that motion over 30 post-conviction claims, within which he labeled four causes of action. One was the denial of the right to a fair trial. Two was prosecutorial misconduct. Three, ineffective assistance of trial counsel. And four, ineffective assistance of appellate counsel. I addressed all Foster's claims in my brief to this court. Most of them should be disposed of because he failed to make sufficient allegations. Unless this court has any questions with regard to Foster's other claims, I will address this morning only the ones that he specifically assigned and argued in his brief to this court, which isn't many because for over 30 claims, his argument section is about 6 pages. And so I'm liberally construing the claims that I'm going to respond to this court. A lot of his argument was conclusions and assertions and props of law, as I pointed out in my brief. Foster argues that the district court did not rule on his underlying claims. I understand this to mean the alleged trial court error and prosecutorial misconduct claims. The district court did rule on them, and it properly found them procedurally barred. He argues ineffective assistance of trial and appellate counsel for failing to challenge jury instruction number 9. He argues that instruction number 9 was structural error because it stated that he is presumed innocent until, rather than unless and until, the state proved him guilty beyond a reasonable doubt.
Do we have the jury instructions in the record?
Yes, Your Honor. The state submits that Foster cannot show prejudice because instruction number 9, when read with all the other jury instructions, instructed the jury that if the state did not meet its burden to prove Foster guilty beyond a reasonable doubt, then it must find him not guilty. The state's position that no reasonable juror would have understood the until language to mean that guilt was an inevitability.
On review of the trial court's denial of post-conviction, of the evidentiary hearing for post-conviction relief, the trial court seemed to be of the opinion that they had given the instruction that said unless and until.
Yes, that's how the order reads.
Right. And is that an error?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So what was the actual instruction given? Was
that
just until?
Just until. There was no unless and until language that State versus Henry would have disposed of if they had read that way, but
right.
It doesn't.
What's the state's position on the preferred instruction?
Unless and until, as this court upheld in State versus Henry.
Thank
but
you.
But again, it's the state's position that the jury is to read all the instructions together. When read together, if they don't mislead, they adequately cover the issues. There is no prejudice resulting in reversal. And just what is the point of the trial? There's no way a reasonable juror is going to think, well, at the end of this trial, we're finding him guilty no matter what. That's the point of the trial. They are told it repeatedly within the other instruction that it's the state's burden. It never shifts. And if the state doesn't meet that burden, they are to find the defendant not guilty.
What are the other instructions that were given that you feel cured the deficiency in the instruction number 9?
Sure. Well, instruction number 9 itself informed the jury that Foster is presumed innocent and that the presumption continues throughout the trial. All the material elements instructions stated that if the state has failed to prove beyond a reasonable doubt any one or more of the material elements necessary for conviction, then it was the jury's duty to find the defendant not guilty. instruction number 7 instructed the jury as to each of the 10 charges and the information for each defendant. You must make your decision as to guilty or not guilty for each defendant. So those are the three different, I guess really multiple because there's 10 offenses and multiple material elements instructions, but that more than adequately cover this issue.
And then, of course, the verdict form.
Sure.
Have both
yeah,
options
I mean,
available.
It's just one, like no reasonable juror is going to believe that, you know, when it has to make a choice that it really has no choice. It's just no reasonable jury is going to believe that. The third thing that Foster argues, ineffective assistance of trial and appellate counsel for failing to raise that the joint trial violated his right to due process. This was disposed of on direct appeal. And fourth, ineffective assistance of trial counsel for failing to call witnesses that he did not do it, that he was just simply at the wrong place at the wrong time. Those allegations are insufficient. They don't state the witnesses that should have been called or what they would have said and how they would have changed the outcome of the trial. If there are no further questions.
No. Thank you very much.
Thank
You're excused.
You.
We're adjourned for the day.